You all may be seated. If anybody would like to come to the altar, please feel free to do so. We're going to bow our heads to pray. Lord God, all the glory go to you. We thank you, Lord, for this Sunday, a baptism Sunday. It is awesome to be here today, and what a privilege to be standing here before all the folks and to be part of something so special. Lord, as we come here to celebrate, we know that there's a world out there that's still in chaos. We know there are still wars out there that, Lord, we ask that you resolve. There are storms out there, Lord, that need to be calmed. Lord, there are so many illnesses and COVID still among us. We ask, Lord, that you please just give a healing touch to those folks that are struggling right now with any physical illness, mental illness, or spiritual illness. Because you have the power, Lord. We thank you that you are our Emmanuel, that you are with us, Lord. It is through what we'll be soon celebrating, your resurrection, that we can stand here today forgiven. All we have to do is ask, turn from sin, repent, and then turn to you, and you'll show us the way. Lord, and we're grateful for today because we have testimonies before us that will tell of the stories of how you worked in Dave and Michael's life. Praise you, Lord. It wasn't so long ago that I actually stood to be baptized in that baptismal. And today I am honored to be able to stand here and do pastoral prayer. Who knew? You knew. Lord, you're an amazing God. You're a loving God, and you are faithful. We thank you, Lord, for this day of celebration, and all the days to come before us, because, Lord, we feel you moving in our congregation. We feel things happening, and we know that you love us. And you are going to work with us, and you're going to help us to be all you need us to be. Each individual here has a different call and a different purpose, and whatever that is that you put on their heart, Lord, we ask that they answer that call. If it's their first time answering the call and they don't understand that, please feel free to come to any of us, Lord. You put people in place to guide, people that have learned. So, Lord, let us mentor and love on each and every person that's here today and each and every person in our lives. That is the call, to make sure that we just love people where they're at, no matter what that looks like. So we praise you, Lord, and ask that you bless this day as we have the baptism before us, Lord, and Dave and Michael will go up and tell their stories. Let their stories touch a heart today, Lord. We thank you and praise you. May all the glory go to you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Good morning. Welcome everyone here and everyone online. I know we're emphasizing baptism. These have been one of my favorite verses for quite a while, and I've memorized them in the Amplified because I really like in verse 20 how it just emphasizes how Jesus is with us. So Matthew 28, verses 16 through 20. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed and made appointment with them. And when they saw him, they fell down and worshiped him, but some doubted. Jesus approached and, breaking the silence, said to them, "All authority, all power of rule in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go then and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them into the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe everything that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you all the days, perpetually, uniformly, and on every occasion, to the very close and consummation of the age."
Thank you, Beth. Thank you, Jim. Welcome to Sunday morning worship here at Living Hope Church. Welcome to those of you who are joining us via live stream. As always, we are glad you're watching us. Well, today is not just any other day, although any day you intentionally worship God is a good day. But today, at least for me, we are having, other than Easter, the best service of the year. Baptism services are special, and they should be special. They're a big deal. And like I said, other than Easter, I can't think of a service, even more than Christmas. I look forward to baptism services even more than Christmas service. So I am thrilled to be here today, because the truth is that since the time of Christ, believers have participated in baptism. Sometimes there's a lot of great fanfare and excitement, and sometimes the services are very somber and reverent. But regardless of the style of the service, the visual and emotional appeal of this confessional act that these two men will be taking today is at the very heart of who we are as followers of Christ. Baptism has significance for the believer, of course, but did you know baptism also has a great deal of significance for the church and even for non-believers? I want to just give you 2 points today, very short points, about baptism. And the first one is this: the baptism is an act of obedience. Some of the last words that Jesus spoke to his disciples were the threefold instructions that Beth just read for us. And those instructions were: make disciples, baptize those who believe, and teach them his commands. So, if for no other reason at all, we baptize because Jesus told us to. To me, that should be enough of a reason for any of us. Obedience. Let me tell you a story about a TV news crew. They were on assignment, true story. They were in southern Florida, and they were filming the widespread destruction of Hurricane Andrew. And in one scene, amidst the devastation and the debris, one single house stood on its foundation among a whole neighborhood, actually more than a neighborhood. You can see that house there. That's taken right after Hurricane Andrew came in. And if you panned back from that picture, which I couldn't get one that was panned back much more than this, but I've seen it, there is complete destruction for another mile. Not one house is standing, none. But this house, if you got a close-in picture, it looks like nothing happened at all to this house. Well, the reporter that was down there doing the report, he looked over there and he saw the owner of the house out in the yard picking up debris from the hurricane. So he goes over to the homeowner and he said, "Sir, can I ask you a question?" And he said, "Sure." He goes, "Why is your house the only house standing among all these other buildings that were completely destroyed?" And the owner looked at him and had a very simple answer. He said, "Well, I built the house myself." And he says, "I built it according to the Florida building codes. If the code called for 2x6 roof trusses, I put in 2x6 roof trusses. I was told, according to the code, if I built my house according to this way, it would survive any kind of hurricane. I did, and it did. I suppose no one else around me followed the code." Obedience. Friends, obedience is one of the characteristics of us as a Christian. That's one of the reasons, maybe the most important reason, why we get baptized. In Matthew 28:20, Jesus said that we should teach believers to observe everything I have commanded you. So baptism is an act of obedience for both the church and the believer. We baptize because we desire to be obedient to Christ. And the second reason that we baptize, or they can be many, but another reason we baptize is it's an opportunity to witness. The New Testament and church history, they seem to indicate pretty clearly that baptism served as the initial profession of faith for the early believers. For example, after Philip preached Jesus to the Ethiopian, The new believer's initial request, the first thing he said was, I want to be baptized. And that's in Acts chapter 8. When the Philippian jailer responded to the preaching of Paul and Silas, he and his believing members of his family were immediately baptized. That's in Acts 16. The same is true for other people like Lydia, Cornelius, the Corinthian church, etc., etc. For these believers, baptism served as kind of like a silent witness, an outward expression of their inward faith and their new way of life. So how is baptism a witnessing opportunity for us who are here today? Well, according to Romans 6, 1 through 4, our baptism is a witness to the saving work of Christ, his death, his burial, and his resurrection. As a symbol, baptism virtually reenacts his burial in the grave and his resurrection from life. When we see the believer walk into the water, which we will in a few minutes, he goes under the water and he comes up from the water, we are seeing what Jesus did to save us. Baptism is a dramatic representation of Christ's work of atonement. Baptism is also a witness of what happens at salvation. Romans 6:3 declares that in salvation we have been baptized into Christ and also into his death. Baptism symbolizes that as Christ died, was buried, and rose again, so the believer has died, been buried to self, and now has a new life in Jesus Christ. So baptism symbolizes that he or she is a new creature in Christ. And being a new creature in Christ means that our lives have changed. As believers adopt this new Christ-like character, the change becomes evident to those with whom they associate. Baptism symbolizes the change of the followers of Christ. Baptism is also a witness to non-believers. Believers often ask friends and relatives to come to their baptism. We see that example here today. And questions naturally arise with those who are unfamiliar with this rite that we call baptism. I mean, children, if they were here, they may ask, why is that person putting that person underwater? Others will wonder about or even hear for the very first time the significance of baptism. The Holy Spirit can use the act of baptism as the initial entry point into the lives of those who will come to faith in Christ. Therefore, the very act of baptism can serve as a powerful witness of the saving work of Christ and the salvation experienced by the believer. I want to close by telling you a story. Now, many of you probably remember who Paul Harvey was. I used to love Paul Harvey's stories. You know, what was his saying? Now the rest of the story. And that was the point I always waited for, because I wanted to know, what was he talking about? What is the punchline here? What's the rest of the story? And Paul Harvey never told stories about himself. He didn't do that. When he told his stories on his radio, he didn't talk about him, ever. He did once. I want to tell you what he said. He said this, that even though he had received, this isn't verbatim, I'm not quoting what he said, but this is basically what he said. He said, even though he had received almost every reward from his broadcasting ability, he said he felt very empty inside. And one summer, he said, he and his wife were on vacation at a place called Cave Creek, Arizona. He said, Sunday morning came, so they decided to go to church. He said, we went to this little church. He said, there were maybe 12 people there, maybe not even 12 people. He said he believed in Jesus at that time, but he had never gone forward at any church service in his life. He says, one night, several years earlier, he had prayed in a hotel room and asked Jesus to come into his heart. But he said, I still felt there was always something missing. He said, when the preacher got up to preach that morning and announced that he was going to be doing a sermon on baptism, Paul Harvey said, I just yawned and thought, oh, well. He said, but as he started talking, I found myself getting interested. He said he talked about the symbolism behind it and how it symbolized the complete surrender of one's life to Jesus Christ, and how there was nothing really magic in the water. But there was this cleansing work, the preacher said, that took place inside when you yield yourself to him. And he finally closed the sermon with these words, quote, "Finally," he said, when he came to the end of the sermon, he said, "if any of you have not been baptized in this way, I invite you to come forward and join me here at the pulpit." Pa Harvey said, "to my surprise, I found myself walking forward." The preacher has said there was nothing very special in the water, yet as I descended into the depths and rose again, I knew something life-changing had happened, a cleansing inside and out. No longer did there seem to be two uncertain, contradictory Paul Harveys, just one immensely happy one. I felt the fulfilling of the Holy Spirit in my life for the first time. Paul Harvey went on to say this, quote, "the change this simple act made in my life was so immense as to be indescribable. Since totally yielding to him in baptism, my heart cannot stop singing. Also, perhaps because baptism is such a public act, and because one's dignity gets drenched as one's body, I discovered a new unself-conscious in talking about my beliefs," end quote. Paul Harvey said the baptism, although he had been a Christian for a while, that when he got baptized that day, it changed his life. I hope and pray that's what it does for the candidates today. I told them in my office before the service that this day that they'll probably remember for the rest of their lives. I remember my baptism, and it was over 45 years ago. I'm sure these guys will remember their baptism as well. Let me give you one instruction before David comes up and gives his testimony. My instruction is this. The first thing I want these candidates to hear after they come up out of the water, the first thing I want them to hear is their church applauding and congratulating them. So the moment they come up out of that water, we should be congratulating them and applauding for them, letting them know how pleased we are that they are taking this leap or this act of faith. Thank you. David, the platform is yours.
Good morning.
Morning.
I first want to thank my family for taking the drive up here. You have no idea what it means to me. I appreciate it. Eric, Mary Beth, I know you can't be here, and I'm sorry, and I hope you feel better soon. My name is Dave Gavin, for the people that don't know who I am. I want to start off by giving you some background on myself. I grew up a Catholic, like some of you here. But it was a requirement by my father and no interest of myself. I stopped attending Mass when I went off to college. So moving on to school, I was just an average student. I was interested in math and science. My love was sports, playing high school and college football, lacrosse crew, and various others. My goal before attending college was to manage a large manufacturing facility, which I ended up doing. Through the years, I was promoted from supervisor to manager, director, VP. I always received great performance reviews and various awards. My strengths were common sense, organization, focus, and leadership. I was very good at what I did. I thought I was it. The company loved me. My people loved me. And with all this success came one big negative, and you probably can tell what it is, my ego. I am surprised I could fit through the door with my big head as I entered the plant in the morning. After a few years, there was an incident. Someone from outside the company reported to the company's president that I was doing something inappropriate. A team of employees came down to do some investigation. It was a big deal. I didn't do anything wrong, and that's what they determined. But in the investigation, some of my employees had the perception that I wasn't 100% clean. My first reaction was shock. How could they believe that? Everybody loved me. At this point, I tried to determine why would they have that perception. And I took a look at myself. And what I saw, I didn't like. For a while, I was really struggling. I lost all my confidence. I was very depressed and even considered taking my life. A really good friend of mine that was helping me through this recommended I go to church. We decided to give it a try and started to go to a church called First Christian in Yuma, Arizona. The pastor was exactly what I needed. Jeff was very down to earth and had a very diverse background. Over time, he helped me through my issues. Looking back now, I think God was watching over me because I was not church shopping. If this didn't work out, I wouldn't have gone to another church. So why do I want to get baptized today? It's been roughly 10 years since accepting God in my life, but one thing I still been struggling with is doubt. I talked about my background being science, common sense driven. Where is the objective evidence that God exists? My first reaction to things like miracles are, that can't happen. And as I learned about Jesus, my faith grew and I began to believe in him. I've been working my doubt and I am ready to take a leap of faith and we didn't quit. Belief that God exists and now want to fully commit through baptism.
Baptismal song, David has selected this one, taken from Revelation chapter 4.
Yes. Okay, everyone can hear me okay? All right, tough act to follow. Let me just say, this is not part of my testimony, but I saw a great movie yesterday, The Jesus Revolution. Great movie. I recommend it to everyone. Anyways, glasses down. Hello, hi guys. Some of you are probably wondering, why isn't Mike playing the drums today? Well, it's tough to be two places at the same time, there and there. I'm getting baptized because I want to rededicate my life to God. He is so important to me. I can't wait to get to know him, see him face to face. People have asked me how or when I got saved. I don't know how or when, I don't. But I have gone from not knowing him at all to yearning to know more of him. I also was brought up Catholic, like Dave was. I had my first communion when I was about 10 years old. There was a lady who lived down the street, not far from where I lived, who read the Bible to my sister and me. I had no idea what she was reading. I was just there for the snacks. When I was around 11 years old, I went to a thing called Children's Sand and Surf Mission. It was on Singing Beach in Manchester by the sea. The beach wasn't too far from where I lived. I only went there because I might have seen somebody I knew. A little later in my life, I would visit my aunt, and she would be reading her Bible. I really thought nothing of it. I was just there to visit her. When I was 18, I went to Christ Church in Hamilton, Mass. Christchurch is Episcopal. They have prayer railings like the ones here. One Sunday, I was kneeling at the altar, and after a while, I felt the tap on my shoulder. I was asked to sit down in my pew. I didn't want to leave, but I did. Don't know, but this might have been the first time I met the Holy Spirit. Maybe God was trying to reach me. He was knocking, but I wasn't answering. I was invited to Christ Church by a person named Kenny Main. What a friend. Kenny has been very important in my growth as a Christian. He had a gathering of people at his house, and for a couple of weeks, we read from the Episcopal Book of Common Prayer. This gathering was very good fellowship. I know what we read was important in some way. I knew that it had something to do with God, but I didn't know what. For a while, I went to the Hamilton Congregational Church. While I was there, I felt God's presence even more. I did get baptized as an adult at North Shore Community Baptist Church in Beverly Farms, but I didn't feel that I was ready for baptism then. I only got baptized because some other people were getting baptized. I was just going through the motions. I have been at this church for around 10 years, around there. Going to this church, helping out at the food pantry, among the other things that I help out with, and doing the Read the Bible in a Year program has made me want to get baptized again. I was finally entering the door. I have a quote and two Bible verses. Quote first. I have a quote and two Bible verses that I would like to read. These are the main reasons why I want to get baptized again. Okay, first the quote. Don't waver in your commitment to Christ. A great spiritual battle is being fought, and there is no time for indecision or hesitation. Now, James 4:17. Remember, it is a sin to know what you ought to do, and not. Mark 16. Anyone who believes is baptized will be saved, but anyone who refuses to believe.
For his baptismal song, Michael has chosen, Lord, I give you my heart.